safety rules make it tougher to get a new commercial driver's license in Alaska. And the Haines Assembly is set to vote Tuesday on whether non-traditional housing structures like yurts and container homes will be restricted from the town site. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Corinne Smith. Those stories are up next. New rules for first-time commercial vehicle drivers took effect in Alaska on Monday. The new regulations call for more thorough instruction for anyone seeking a new Class B license or higher. As KHNS's Mike Swayze reports, the cost for most tour companies in tourist towns like Skagway won't be as high as some had feared.
The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's new rules for entry-level commercial drivers will require more formalized training for anyone seeking to operate a vehicle over 26,000 pounds. In Skagway, small tour companies rely on hiring and training new tour guides from season to season. Luckily, for most Skagway businesses, their vehicles don't exceed that weight limit and won't require the more extensive training. Chris Lisenby from Alaska Driving Academy in Soldotna says his entry-level driver training program made the switch to the new curriculum when the administration first announced it would be increasing standards a few years ago.
The whole purpose for the ELDT mandate was to put more educated, trained drivers out on the road. Too many people were going and getting the quickie license, get my license, get out there and drive, and it was bad for the industry. The motor carriers didn't like it because they were getting drivers that didn't know anything about the industry and their skills were bare minimum. And it's not safe for the motoring public. You know, just because you have your license doesn't mean that you really have a full idea of how that vehicle operates in different conditions.
Greg Clem owns Klondike Tours and will begin operating Skagway's shuttle service, Smart Boss, in April. He says all of his vehicles are under the weight limit, but there are some changes he'll have to make to train new Class C drivers that can drive his airport shuttle-sized buses. First, he'll have to become a licensed instructor. In order to do that, you must have had the same level of license with all applicable endorsements for at least 2 years. Then you fill out the application and can teach the curriculum.
It's a lot of paperwork, but it's all free. Assuming I am doing the training, they would come to me first. According to the laws, I have to do the passenger endorsement. According to reality, I would have trained them on everything.
Once Clem submits all of his paperwork, he'll be registered on a national database of licensed instructors. He can choose to teach anyone looking for a Class C license with a passenger endorsement, or he can choose to only teach people at his company. For now, in order to get fully licensed to drive tours in Skagway, new drivers will have to take a bus to Juneau to complete their testing. Clem says that'll cost about $600 to put one of his smaller buses on the ferry and another $200 or so in fees. New school bus drivers will need to learn from a licensed instructor found on the National Registry and complete the S endorsement. For new drivers looking to get into driving large vehicles with air brakes or big rigs, the training is more intense.
If you're a Class A or B, you have to go do that from a trainer that has that credential.
Courses at training schools in Alaska vary in length from 5 days to several weeks. Sarah Douthit from Kenai Peninsula Driving School says her school has students complete a portion of their learning online before in-person instruction begins at the school.
Whether you go to a big school for 6 months or whether you come here for 1 week behind the wheel and 1 week of online learning, as long as those requirements are met by your program, then you can get into a CDL.
The cost of courses at training schools in Alaska varies from a little over $5,000 to over $7,000, and most are located near large population centers. For now, there is no road course or CDL examiner available in Skagway, which is why prospective drivers will have to travel to Juneau. But that could change, according to DMV officials. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
Elected leaders in Haines are weighing whether to restrict non-traditional dwellings like yurts and container homes within the town site. The issue has sparked public debate around affordable housing, building standards, and property values for adjoining homeowners. The Haines Assembly is poised to vote at its Tuesday meeting. A measure to restrict the types of residences in the town site would do two things. One, it would define fabric-covered structures such as yurts and teepees, as well as container homes in borough code. And two, designate where they would be allowed in zones outside the town site. The measure was recommended by the Planning Commission in December by a 5-2 vote. Rob Goldberg has served on the commission since 2002 and says the question of the types of permitted housing has come up before.
And so the question came up, why are we allowing teepees and wall tents and yurts as permanent residences when we don't allow mobile homes and RVs to be lived in as a permanent residence? And so we tried to bring the borough code up to a standard that said that if you're going to build a home in the town site, it has to be of a permanent nature.
Goldberg says the Planning Commission wants to incentivize building traditional structures, and defining and restricting alternative housing like yurts is a step in that direction.
What we're doing is trying to just create a standard for building in the town site because we don't have a building code here. There's no one at the borough hired to go out and enforce building codes. And so you can build pretty much anything.
But the ordinance also restricts container homes that can last, depending on conditions and maintenance, up to 20 years. Goldberg says that was added in later, and likely because people don't like their appearance.
They're not that attractive as a home. A lot of people wouldn't want their neighbor to just plop a Connex on their property. So I think the issue with the container homes is more an aesthetic one rather than an issue of permanence.
Existing yurts and container homes in the town site would be grandfathered in, and they would still be allowed in zones outside the town site, a compromise introduced by Mayor Doug Olrud. But for residents like Nick Schlossstein, who moved to Haines with his partner about 7 years ago, a yurt was a good housing option.
It was affordable and fast.
Schlossstein says they bought a parcel of land in a neighborhood just northwest of the Haines town site and put up a yurt in a few weeks. They lived there for 5 years.
So we were able to purchase land and really be here permanently rather than, you know, seeking out renting, a rental agreement. Our intentions have always been to build a permanent structure on the land, but being able to build a long-term comfortable structure like a yurt is what allowed us to move to Haines and relocate our business and life here.
The couple developed their business, Foundroot, which is a small farm and seed company. Now they live in a rental because they recently had a child, and they're still saving up and planning to build a home on the site. Supporters of the ordinance have also cited alternative housing like yurts could pull down adjoining property values. However, there is no data to prove this. Haines resident Eric Stevens doesn't see them as a nuisance, rather.
What I think devalues neighboring properties would be broken down vehicles, snow machines in people's yards, garbage. Honestly, I think it devalues property when people build a gigantic house and they don't finish the siding and it stays Tyvek for a long time. That devalues properties. There are a lot of things that can devalue property, and yurts are not one of them.
The Haines Assembly will weigh in on the measure and whether to prohibit yurts and container homes from the town site at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday. Zoom details are at khns.org. For KHNS, I'm Corinne Smith. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read news stories on our website at khns.org. You can also subscribe to KHNS News on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts.